congratulations to the APC. In spite of the heavy bashing that we give them this bashing so that they can strive harder. So we now have to wait till Saturday and see what effect all this has had. So congratulations to him. I want to plead with the APC people to please let this man sleep for a day or two before election day so he can come out refreshed. But knowing politicians, they probably are in his house as we speak. As we speak. Give consideration to your leader. You know, this is not a time for debate anymore about his state of health. Give him time to rest and come out refreshed and get ready for Saturday. Because by Tuesday, Monday, the results will be out.
Hopefully,
and it will be a different ball game. It'll either be a president elect or a former candidate, as the case may be. So we need to give him kudos for all that, and I'd like to say congratulations to him for a battle well fought up till now. Okay.
Now let's move on to this interesting page in the Punch newspaper. It's a communique of meeting of leading Yoruba Obas on the state of the nation.
Yeah, so we are done with the good side of it. We now get to a worrying part of this whole campaign, and I consider this very unfortunate. I wish that our Obas did not allow politicians to box them into a corner. So this communique is of a meeting of leading Yoruba Obas on the state of the nation, and the Yoruba Obas from Ekiti, Lagos, Kogi, Kwara, and so on and so forth, and Oyo states. And the meeting was presided over by His Imperial Majesty. the titles that we use, Imperial Majesty. How do you say that in Yoruba? But anyway, and that's the Oni of Ife. And so at the meeting, the real fathers affirmed their faith and support for Nigeria, Ujmo, humane handling. They did all that, but they said the meeting granted Tinubu an audience, and they expressed satisfaction with the briefings he gave concerning his aspiration. They acknowledged Tinubu's solid democratic credentials and unwavering commitment to the attainment of democracy. The meeting affirms the preeminent qualification of Tinubu for the highest office of Nigeria. They renewed their faith and so on and so forth. In short, but invariably, this is an endorsement of the candidate, and it is very, very unfortunate that our real fathers have allowed this happen when in reality we expect them to be completely neutral. Why? Because number one, Yoruba land is made up of different subjects who have different and varied interests. If you pitch your camp with one, then rather than be an arbiter in future, you've already picked a side. And that ideally should not be done. The institution of Obaship is so important that this kind of division shouldn't be happening. I think it was ill-advised. That's number one. Number two is that if you endorse your own, quote unquote, your own son, how would it look if the Sultan and the Emir of Kano endorse Atiku on one hand and the Obi of Onitsha and so on endorse Peter Obi on another hand? Are we looking at one Nigeria? So we have now narrowed down the presidency to an issue of let us support our son. That is a bad example for the young people. It's not going to unite this country. And I'm sorry, with due respect, Kabiyesi, you should have thought of this. What example are you showing? And ironically, our younger people they've crossed the boundary in all these sectional and tribal things. They have gone that far, thank God, to the initial introduction of federal government institutions and universities and youth service corps. The boundaries were intermarrying, we're doing all these things. These things cause division. Because there is no monopoly to this. If the Sultan, like I said, tomorrow now puts up an advert to say, I support Atiku, then everybody will go up in arms and say the North have picked their candidate. I don't think it is right. I think it is ill-advised. It's too late to withdraw it. But I'd like to beg our KBACs, whatever the pressure, resist it. Resist it. You have a right individually. You know, of course, you'll have your. I have my preferred choice. Even if I haven't made up my mind totally as to who I'm going to vote for, I know those that I will not vote for. At least I've narrowed down. But I have a job to do. And we expect them to be, like I said, to be father of all. Okay, so because look at here we have the Ono of Ife, the Oroguila, we have the Diji of Akure, the Olugbo of Ugbo. You have the Onimeko of Imeko. Okay, so Kabiyesi Alake is not there. His name is not in this.
Is Awujale there?
Awujale is not there. I need to be careful. But I'm glad they are not there because I would have been surprised if they were there. I'd be very surprised. When we talk of Obas really and truly, the first two people that you mentioned just now are top-notch. They have a history. And ironically, you see, what you have actually done, Kabiyesi, is that you have made life more difficult for the candidate. So if somebody who wants to lead the whole country, you have now narrowed him down to be a Yoruba candidate. It's counterproductive because he's going to need votes all over the country. By endorsing him now, you have now made him a Yoruba candidate. Okay? And he doesn't need that. It's enough for him to come to the palace, for you to do blessings.
Just give your blessings.
Just give your blessings rather than this. In Ekiti, you have the Ajero of Ijere Ekiti and so on and so forth. Let me see Osun State. Okay, Ahone of Ife is there. Orongu Ila is there. In Lagos State, the Anyogbunre of Ikorodu, the Oniru of Iruland, Osolo of Isolo, and so on. But Oba Kabiyesi, the Oba of Lagos is not there. Oba Eko, no, he's not there. His name is not here. Okay, in Oyo State, the Olugbon of Onile Ugbon, the Okere of Shaki, the Olubadan is not there. In Kogi State, so this is a divisive endorsement. It's a divisive endorsement, and it's not going to all go well.
Perhaps those that didn't show up felt the way you're feeling right now.
Oh, definitely. I can say that easily for the Awujale or the Alake. I am sure that they would. They might support him. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But they might look at it in a better light to say that come on. And what makes it worse is that it makes it counterproductive. It's counterproductive for the candidate. It's not a plus, it's a minus. But what is done is done. We don't have an Alafi. I was looking for Alafi here, then I remember that.
Yeah, we don't have
an Alafi yet. In Kogi State, the Baro of Kaba, Olujumu of Vijumuland, and so on and so forth. But the prominent one, of course, is the Oni of Ife. I think the Oni of Ife has a peculiar role to play in Yoruba land that he shouldn't really have been involved in divisive politics like this. He shouldn't really.
Let's go back to Daily Trust. Let's leave the Punch for now. We'll most likely come back to the Punch. Page 11 of the Daily Trust. Ogun, Abiodun PDP clash over Naira scarcity riot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too happy with the role that the Ogun State governor is perceived to have played. I think he moved a bit too fast. I didn't stop to think. I will revoke the CFO of any bank that doesn't. You are not in charge of monetary policy. You can't do that. You know, and that is why it has now led to speculation that he probably was the one who sponsored the riots and the burning of the banks. Because more so, you as the chief executive of a state, you give expired money to your citizens, knowing fully well that it is not legal tender. So even if you didn't sponsor the riots directly, indirectly you have created, because you've given the money out, the old 1,000 naira notes that are not legal tender, and you expect them to go and catch it at the banks. So indirectly you have done that. And we keep telling our governors, don't abuse the immunity that you have. And for God's sake, sacrifice yourself for your people. Of course, we'll first of all be asking, where could those 1,000 naira notes have been coming from? We don't expect the government itself,
to still have
yes. Your old naira notes should have gone to the bank long time ago.
I mean, as a government, you should have that privilege to move all of these things.
Yes. Yes. In any case, the notice was since November. So long before then, and government shouldn't be having that much cash, though we don't know how much it was that it disbursed. But some people are now saying that it's also vote buying. I think Mr. Abiodun, he should be hoping that he wins that election. Because there's going to be a day after when we'll be picking up people for the roles that they played in these matters, and he won't be having the immunity forever. Mm. It also goes to show, I'm sorry to say, I don't want to say this, but because lives, look at, for example, a whole bank has been burned down to the ground. So we must begin to look at people we elect as leaders. Must make sure you scrutinize their background very, very well. Very, very well.
Hmm.
Very, very well. Scrutinize their backgrounds and ask yourself, okay, so well, I mean, because I'm this, you remember he was the one who gave, was this one who gave somebody who won Big Brother and gave him a house or something
yes,
like that.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
I'm not too happy with Dapo Abiodun. I'm not. And the immunity you have, sir, is just, you know, for you to, you know, for you to get work going very well, for you to be able to do your work, not to get involved. I even think that those, all those who are giving the old Naira notes should sue him if they can, because he sold them a dummy.
Hmm.
Yes, now.
Mm. Like a dot check.
It's like a dot check. Yeah. You sold them a dummy. You were giving money, and then you were huffing and puffing. You would seize the CEO of any bank. What would happen, Oga? Very simply. If you make it difficult for the banks to run in Ogun State, they will move to other states and get your people bankrupt.
Guess what? The Sagamu area that about up to 10 banks were looted and destroyed.
Yes.
I'm hearing now that people in that Sagamu will have to travel to Okene, far distance locations to go and use banks.
I don't know why deep thinking always, you know, evades some of the leaders that we have. You give them dot money. Yeah, see, well, he never entered this thing, so.
Yeah, Kenya, kill away. Kill
away. I mean, because the essence, if you want to give somebody something, maybe because it's a gift, they might not, you know. His is even better than the one who was owing 6 months salary and now give them the cash. That leaders can be wicked sometimes. Mm. Yes, they can be very wicked. Nigeria will get better. You know, you can now see why you have to be more thorough and less sentimental.
Mm.
You know, when you elect your leaders.
Right. Right. You should take it very seriously.
Take it very seriously.
Mm. Let's take this one here from the Vanguard, page 18. Buhari's election security assurance. It's right here.
Well, the Vanguard writes the editorial like they should, you know, but they're worried about security, and rather than read some things there, let me just say the flashpoints. Let me talk about the flashpoints. The flashpoints, they say, include Lagos, where hoodlums have been attacking perceived opponents. Yes. It is only in Lagos that non-indigenous have been attacked on election days to prevent them from exercising their franchise. I'm a bit worried about Lagos for the elections, the various issues that have come up. And with the little experience I've had with them in INEC in Lagos, I'm a bit worried. I don't know why, for example, the INEC National didn't decide to reassign the Lagos rec. Not that, I'm not saying he's guilty of anything, but if doubts have been cast about his credibility and fairness, then to assure the people, you should have reassigned the rec to another state. So as it is now, people who are so concerned about the election are going into this election with a bit of trepidation. Look at the number of people who couldn't collect their PVCs, you know, and look at the accusations that were made against the REC. The accusations were not made against the REC in Oyo State or in Ogun State, but particularly this gentleman was targeted, and there was enough, you know, there were enough things about his so-called antecedents to give one worry. So to for us, also remember, well, that is in court now, the case of whether you want to use an APC supporter to move materials or not.
It's been settled.
It's been settled. There's a court injunction on that. It could still be appealed.
Oh, yes, it could still be appealed.
Mm. But these are things that could jolly well have been avoided. Like I said, the military will be ready to move these things. I got a note from a contact in the military who said they would jolly well be ready to move these things. They have the wherewithal to do it. And it's a national assignment. So I'm a bit I'm and you know, Lagos is where we reside. So one is a bit worried about the things that you hear people of certain origins being denied PVCs and so on and so forth. And then, of course, my interaction with one or two officials there has gotten me worried about the level of competence, even apart from possible mischief, even the level of competence is worrying. But we'll see how it goes. So they talk about Lagos. They talk about the Southeast, especially Imo State, is a place to watch. They talk about River State. It's also been a flashpoint. Kano and Kaduna must also be closely watched because of the ongoing busybody acts of some disgruntled leaders there. And they say, we urge the president to stay home and man his post as Commander Ajit. Baba has been traveling. Baba Ejokole, just stay home and get the work done. After the election, he can continue his international peregrinations. Maybe it's this guy in Benin that wrote this editorial for them. What's his name? Patrick Obahiano. But I'm hearing this in all my years as an English graduate. I'm hearing peregrinations for different. This is another one. I add this one to the Latin.
Antebellum.
Antebellum, you know. Okay, and they, of course, they say that elections must be free, fair, credible, and peaceful, and those who threaten a right to vote must pay a heavy price. In doing that, let's make examples of certain persons.
Yeah.
Let's make examples of certain persons. When all this is over, we have to determine the level of immunity that our public officers will have. It cannot be, you know, this immunity has been abused completely. Especially by the governors, it's been completely abused. We shouldn't allow the senators and whatever to get away with saying they're going to have some kind of immunity. Enough of that. Even in personal cases, you're my father, you're not my father, go and do a DNA, say it's immunity. That shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen. But we're at the gates now, so we can't turn back. We must open that gate and go inside.
That's
on
right.
Saturday.
Let's go back to the Punch. Let's take this story on page 29 of the Punch. Organ harvesting. I reported a query murder to police, says victim.
Okay, so all I can do is report what was said. And the story says that Old Bailey said that Old Bailey is the court. The prosecutor said that the proposed donor could not be named for legal reasons, okay? He ran away after doctors at the Royal Free Hospital decided he was not a suitable candidate. The young man who made the report shortly after arriving in the UK from Nigeria alleged that he was made to undergo some medical tests, none of which he consented to. That's what is written here. In body worn footage shown to jurors as a jury, the traffic victim appeared to be crying and distressed when he walked into the police station. They must have caught that on the CCTV, not that they were waiting for him as such. He said, I don't know anywhere. I don't know where I am. I've been sleeping 3 days outside around looking for someone to help me save my life. He told the receptionist he had been brought into the country by a man he met in Lagos. He carried me to the hospital to remove my kidneys. The doctor said I was too young, but the man said, if you do not do it here, we'll carry you back to Nigeria and we'll do it there. The BBC stated that he told jurors he thought he was being brought to the UK to work and only found it was for him to donate a kidney when he visited the hospital. The young man told jurors that he was shocked, felt like crying, and that nobody told me about kidney transplant. He claimed he was told he had to go ahead with the operation in exchange for £1.2 million, £2,000. £2,000. When he ran away, the court heard him saying, this was his first time setting his feet in London, not knowing where he was. So that's a report of
the
account of the guy in the Punch.
It's really unfortunate. I mean, I could literally just try and imagine how traumatized the individual, you know, could have been the moment he realized that. This is why
I'm luckily
here.
In the UK court, before they get here to catch me, I would have imagined. Man, definitely there's more than meets the eye in that particular case. There's more than meets the eye. And I'm wondering how it could have gone all the way to the UK without being properly tested here and finding out whether he was suitable or not. You know, okay, so the 3 days that he claims he was roaming around,
yeah.
What happened to where he was? So many questions need to be asked. He said they told him he was coming to work in the UK.
Yeah.
If you are coming to work in the UK, why are they giving you £2,000 in advance?
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Is it also not the proper thing to do to know if someone is a match for organ donation?
That's
or
what
not?
I'm saying. All these tests can be done, even in St. Nicholas.
Oh, yes. Yes.
They can be done. In fact, the transplants could have been done here. You know, but St. Nicholas and a few other hospitals also have that. They have the means of doing a thorough examination, not just of the physical fitness of the donor, but to make sure that it's not a commercial transaction.
But what if all of these weren't done? What if genuinely the guy did not know why he was going to the UK?
It's a possibility.
I mean, the real reason he was going to the UK.
It's a possibility, thinking that when he gets there. But how you are going to put him under the knife without his consent in the hospital, I don't know what you would have wanted to tell him. And then for £2,000, Sheriff.
Okay.
£2,000. Let's say it's Valentine's Day. £2,000 might not buy you the appropriate shoe and bag for a babe that of your standard and stature of your to meet.
Why are you pointing at? I mean, why me? No, why me? I'm trying to.
I can't indict.
Why?
I was passing the buck to you that £2,000 cannot buy you a babe of your start of your toe changing this every day and whatever to someone be and be with the rings and so on. A babe of the standard that should be found next to you, £2,000 cannot buy the proper shoe and bag. You can get away with whatever, but because you'll be designer now. You know, sorry, like nice designer.
Speaking from experience, Abby.
No, but I like going through shopping sites. I mean, that's how come I know that. You know, it's not as if I bought anything.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I do same too.
I can give you a number to call. Ask,
ha, experience is coming out.
Has you ever bought you a $2,000?
Look, I'm particularly hoping that this case will get resolved as quickly as possible. The sick daughter too has been brought into this case as well.
Well, the unfortunate part is that she is the one bearing the brunt, really, not even the man.
Yeah.
Because now it's now going to be extra difficult to get a donor.
Yeah.
To get it done, but unfortunately, she's on the charge sheet.
Mm.
If we can get out of the charge sheet, get her out of whatever, maybe they can bring her home and get something done. Because in truth, there could be people who genuinely
want to donate.
Mm. Yes, and there are lessons to be learned from all this.
That's right. Mm. That's right. Especially for the so-called rich and powerful.
Yes. Yes. There are lessons to be learned.
You can do anything and get away with anything.
No, not just that. Not just that. This idea of running up, that thing could have been done here.
That's right.
The hospitals that would do it here.
Oh, yes.
And I shouldn't be saying this, but we're adults here now. The children have gone to school. Nigeria is a country where anything is possible. It could have been over and done with here.
Hmm.
The girl will be bouncing around with her new kidney. The person with the one kidney too will be bouncing around with Shaura in his pocket. Case closed.
Case closed, man.
Mm. This idea of going abroad. Sometimes.
Right, well,
you get as it be.
Unnecessary.
Get as it be.
Let's be going. Deb with me this morning.
It's sacrosanct. Okay. I wanted to force to continue politics. I said, what? No. We did it to relax before we now hit the road on Saturday.
Okay.
So we have Deb with me today.
Fantastic. Okay. I'm Sheriff Quatri.
I'm Jimmy Disu.
Let's take this break. When we return, we'll talk to INEC on the processes of election.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat? this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.